Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
We are not the enemies of Islam, and we embrace those who practice that great religion in our country.
Describe the spiritual health of our fellow Christians in Haiti.
Now that's one area where I come back jazzed every time. They truly understand the theology of the cross.
The question is not, have you accepted Jesus into your heart, but rather, has Jesus accepted you into his heart?
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues, etc.
It's another one of those subjects of Christian teaching that often is guilt-inducing. When we talk about witnessing or sharing the gospel, or we talk about evangelism, sometimes we get confused. You'll hear people talk about sharing their faith as though they're really sharing kind of a private personal experience rather than something objective that is true for all. We are not sent by Christ to go out and simply talk about Jesus in some general sense. There's a specific testimony that the Christian church has been given, that each Christian has been given, and that testimony isn't so much about you at all as it is about Jesus entirely. We're going to be talking about sharing the Christian faith. Dr. Detlef Schultz joins us here in the first few minutes of this Tuesday afternoon's Issues, etc. We are coming to you live. It's the 18th of January. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about Jesus calling those first disciples. Matthew's Gospel is the guide there, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen in about a half hour. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us. We'll speak with her about recent birth of Elton John and David Furnish's baby boy, a surrogacy birth, if you will, this now famous same-sex couple. We'll see what she has to say about that. They were on the cover of Us magazine along with the baby very recently. We'll spend the better part of the second hour of Issues, etc. with Dr. Jim Vells talking about the great confession of St. Peter according to Mark's gospel. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments right here in the studio. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Detlef Schultz is professor and chairman of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a chapter in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. Dr. Schultz's chapter is titled Witness, Sharing Our Faith. Dr. Schultz, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thanks for having me this afternoon.
I like the way that you center, so to speak, the task of witnessing to the Christian faith in the Christian congregation. You say that the Christian congregation is the hub of that witness. What do you mean?
Well, use the imagery of the hub, you know, and look at the aeroplanes, you know, when they start flying around the world. Sooner or later, they will have to come to a certain location to refuel, you know, to bring in back food, and the catering services come all in, and so the plane can leave again, you know, fully loaded with fuel and foods. And I think to a degree that imagery kind of helps us as Christians to see, look at the church kind of as the place where we go to always to replenish ourselves spirituality-wise, you know. So I think that's basically what I'm trying to say. You can give all day, but sooner or later you also have to return back to the place where the Lord speaks to you and gives you the strength to go out again.
Another aspect of this, and I think it's highlighted by the fact that nowadays evangelism or witness has in some circles degenerated to simply someone kind of talking about their personal experience, their personal spirituality, their own views or opinions, or simply talking about their spiritual transformation, how much better they are today than they were yesterday. What is the real objective testimony that the church and Christians have been given to bear witness to the world?
Well, you know, I would definitely say that, you know, John the Baptist serves as a good example. You know, his ministry was always to point away from him. You know, the church always depicted that on a picture where he points to the cross where Christ is hanging and saying something like, look, this is the Lamb of God. And so I think that's what he did. And, you know, out of that resulted discipleship where others also did the same. You know, they looked at Christ, not at John the Baptist. So I think what the Christians are told is more or less to reflect the work of Christ in their lives, but always try to point to Christ and not to themselves, you know, so that the testimonials that are being made are reflective of the work and the universal work of Christ that embraces all humans. And I think that's where the whole emphasis should lie.
What is the scope of the Christians and the church's witness? You say that it, even in the Old Testament, has this universal nature.
Right, right. Yeah, I try to pick up, you know, first of all, in my article there, you know, that Christians need to look beyond themselves, beyond their church, you know, in the realms where the gospel has not yet come to. And that already is picked up in the Old Testament. God is a creator of all nations, you know, of the entire world. And we are, as Americans, Germans, you know, all part of those nations. And there are many around in the world that have not heard of Christ. So I think the Lord God himself is the creator of all nations already right up front, you know. And so, you know, taking up the theme of Pentecost, then you see others flocking back to Jerusalem to hear about Christ. And I think so, to look further and beyond the realms of the church is basically crucial to our own existence and for the continuing existence of the church.
I mentioned at the beginning that the subject of witnessing or evangelism is often guilt-inducing, but it's also often presented in a way as more as a duty, very little thought to why the Christian does this, what motivates this. What does Scripture teach there, Dr. Schultz?
Well, you know, I say always there is a certain ethical claim to witness. By that I mean that just as all fruit is born out of faith, so also our tongue speaks reflecting our faith that we have internally, you know, and given by the Holy Spirit. So there's a certain aspect to bringing out what you personally have appropriated for yourself. It's either good works, you know, but it is also including the witness. So in a way, we have to see that Christianity cannot exclude witness from the very existence of every Christian. But you're absolutely right. There is a certain bad conscience, you know, instilled on many Christians who feel that if they abstain from this or that act, you know, and witness, they are losing their faith. So I'm not necessarily supportive of that conclusion, you know. So it can become a burden to Christians thinking that they have to do it only this or that way. So I do believe also that there's much to be said for a Christian lifestyle as well. The Bible is full. Matthew 5:16, let your shine light shine forth. You know that that people around you praise God in heaven. And I think you know it's more than just a witness. It's an entire holistic a person who lives in this world, both by deed and also by what he says.
Where does Scripture's teaching on the Christian's vocation fit in or set the context for the Christian bearing witness to the Christian faith?
That's very crucial. I think the Apostle Paul already said, look where you are placed in this world. That's where your station is. Your Christianity needs to be lived out there. And so, you know, we are not withdrawing ourselves as Christians from the world. In fact, it's the opposite. We are placed in it and told to live it out there, as challenging as it is to be a Christian in the world out there. But That's the arena where Christ wants to be brought. And so in the vocation, which means calling, look at your calling, and that's a teacher, a farmer, everyone who's doing something worthwhile in the eyes of the Lord, you know, upholding peace and order in this world, is serving the world through his vocation. And that's precisely where, you know, we have the opportunity to speak out and as I've said, also to live in a missionary way as well.
So every Christian has a station in life, according mm-hmm. to God's word, but not every Christian is a professional evangelist or someone who's going to, you know, pull up roots, travel to a foreign country, and take up street preaching or something like that. About a minute before our break.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I mean, the Great Commission says, go ye all, you know, but that's not taken in a sense that now all of Christians in the United States need to leave for China now or for India. We select representatives of our community to speak the faith on our behalf in various locations where we cannot go. So there are certain substitutionary evangelists doing our task somewhere else. But when we talk about vocation, as you just mentioned, that puts us right here in this world, you know, wherever we are. And that also, it requires us to see ourselves as witnesses as well.
Dr. Detlev Scholz is our guest. He's professor and chairman of the of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's authored a chapter in the Issues, Etc. book of the month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. His chapter is titled Witness, Sharing Our Faith. When we come back another 10 minutes with him, your questions or comments are welcome, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, January the 18th, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about sharing the Christian faith. Dr. Detlev Scholz is our guest. He's professor and chairman of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they're just beginning their annual theological symposium. How is that going there, Dr. Scholz?
Very well, exceeding our expectations. The worship service today at 10 o'clock was filled to the brim, so it's doing very fine, and the registrations are beyond that what we had hoped. So it's good, looking very fine.
I remember attending in the past some of those years, the rather sizable field house there filled with attendees was not enough to contain everything. I take it your numbers are back in that neighborhood again.
Exactly, yeah. We have probably around 500 attending right now, so we've moved over to Sila Auditorium, but it's still filled to the brim.
Very good to hear about it. Dr. Schultz, let's talk about, and I like the emphasis in your chapter in this book where you talk about Christ being sent into the world. And you said it before the break. You said that the Christian is bearing a Christ into the world. This isn't just some idle word, opinion, or thought. This is Christ himself coming through the word, through the Christian's witness. Talk about that.
The Christ that we bring is the Christ that saves. And we can't save people. And we witness Christ, who do you say I am? And he asked Peter, and we say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this Christ is brought to people through the actual gospel. The gospel is not an empty shell. It is filled, as a nut is, you know, with something in the core. And Christ is in the word itself. So if Christ became word, he is also the word that is being proclaimed. And in this way we bring Christ. We become also people who follow Christ and walk in his footsteps. And are not vicariously dying for others, but we certainly also doing that what he himself did as well, walk the earth and witness God, and we do that as well. So we basically bring in Christ through the word, but also through our physical existence, also representing Christ in this world.
Jesus talks about his disciples emulating his ministry, carrying on his ministry. And it is always described with the mark of suffering and persecution that follows along with it. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know that Christ said, if you witness of me and about me, you will divide families. You know, you will experience hardships. And the church's history is full of those who have suffered because of their witness. Because of standing up against those who try to enforce another deity on their lives and other than Christ. So, witnessing must stop at the foot of Christ as he is on the cross. There we basically start developing the theology of witness and understand ourselves bringing the crucified Christ to people, and the wounds that he has, you know, are often also our wounds. You know, we are experiencing rejection as well. And so it's self-speaking that our witness is not based on a glorified Christ that tries to hush away all those aspects that are not acceptable to people, like crucifixion, death, blood. You know, those are the very items that we mention in our witness as well.
The opportunity has always been there. There's no doubt about that. But we kind of get the impression, or we have gotten the impression, Dr. Schultz, that in the first days of the church, this was a small group of Christians going out to evangelize an entirely pagan world. But today, we still have major centers of the population. I'm thinking about the Indian subcontinent, China, where it is technically illegal to be an independent Christian. And then, of course, the world dominated by Islam, where not only Christ has not been heard, but in some cases, if he is, the witness is in legal trouble. Talk about some of those things.
Yeah, there are centers more and more going against Christian witness. I mean, I think that in India there are places where Christians are no longer preaching Christ or calling others to be baptized out of other religions such as Hinduism or Buddhism, you know. And in China, the church, the underground church, is you know, basically living a life that is under the watchful eye of the government, you know. So people cannot move around in China without everything being known by the superiors, you know, the officials. And so it becomes a challenge. And despite that, those abject conditions, people are still witnessing, and the church is growing in India as well as in China more than any decade before. And so there are positive signs that even when persecution occurs, especially the gospel takes root amongst those people.
Not to mention Western Europe,
yeah,
which had been predominantly Christian, at least culturally, mm-hmm. now appears to be a great potential for a return of Christian witness.
I think so. I think, you know, we have we call it a post-Christian age, you know. But it's more than that. It's post still lets us think, oh, there are those people who have turned away from Christ. But their children now who are growing up have basically never heard of Jesus Christ. So we're really coming into countries now in Europe that are totally void of any Christian knowledge. So and to these we bring the gospel now as well. So there are, you know, hopes and certain hopeful centers, you know, that bring the gospel in various cities in Germany and in Europe as well. And who knows, you know, how that will turn out in the United States regarding the gospel here. There's a lot of resistance as well.
If it is a post-Christian age, how important then is, along with the task of bearing witness and making a clear confession of the faith, a defense of the faith, apologetics, Dr. Schultz? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think apologetics is crucial. I think people have always, or many have some prejudice against apologetics. I think apologetics is simply standing up, as in 1 Peter 3:15, standing up for your faith when people have certain problems with what you believe. And it's just a defense of it. And I also believe that there's an obligation for us to confront people who say wrong things about us and our faith, and that would perhaps be more aggressive, you know. But if you talk to any Christian who believes in the truth, then one would expect that truth holds not only for you but for everybody. And I cannot see anybody not witnessing unless he denies the truth.
There was a recent Pew Forum survey regarding the basic religious knowledge of the American population, and by and large, the grade was pretty low, somewhere in the neighborhood of a D or an F, if it were graded in the classroom. Talk about the irony, of course, here, Dr. Schultz, is that Americans largely consider themselves still a Christian nation in some sense or another. What's the opportunity here?
I think it's a misconstrued belief that in God. I believe people have been deceived, or Christians to a large degree, in believing that the invocation of certain celebrities of God, you know, in their life, and also radio show hosts, you know, if they talk about God, we all think that our God, Jesus Christ, is represented by that statement. But, you know, I think we as Christians have certainly a challenge to prove to everyone out there that the God that we're talking about is not the generic God of all of society and the oath of pledge of allegiance and all that in God we trust, you know, is not equal to the God of or the triune God for many. And so I think there is a lot of misperception about the concept of God and who he is, and we as Christians have certainly a challenge to point to the God in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Detlef Schultz is professor and chairman of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a chapter in the Issues Etc. book of the month for January called Lutheran Spirituality. Dr. Schultz's chapter is titled Witness, Sharing Our Faith. There are other Issues Etc. guests who have written for this great resource. Find out more about Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, order Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Lutheran Spirituality, Life as God's Child. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for January. Dr. Schultz, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, for having me again. I look forward to having another opportunity.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about Jesus calling those first disciples. It actually dovetails nicely with our conversation so far with Dr. Schultz. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. The world is always the mission field. And that means whether it's next door or on the other side of the planet, the need is always there. Every generation of Christians is given exactly the same marching orders, if you will. The church is here to confess Christ. That begins with the faithful preaching of God's word. They're inside the church to perhaps most of the time the faithful who already believe. And then the church, as the body of Christ, continues to confess Christ in the world, to boldly, bravely confess Christ, knowing that this will mean the same kind of rejection that Christ himself suffered on our behalf. Why do we do this? Is that out of sense of duty, obligation, guilt? No. We do this because faith cannot help but speak. Faith confesses. Faith is never a dormant thing. It always speaks of the one in whom it trusts, Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we come back, we'll talk about those first disciples that Jesus called. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The annual March for Life will be held in Washington, D.C. on January 24th. It commemorates the anniversary of Roe v. Wade legalizing abortion. Since then, over 53 million babies have died. People throughout the nation and around the world converge in Washington as one tremendous witness for life. Christendom College in Virginia will be canceling classes so the whole student body can board chartered buses and attend. They do this every year. It's great to see the faculty and students walk the talk. There will also be local events held throughout the nation. What will you be doing to note this important anniversary? Email me via today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Let me know how you're standing up for the tiniest and most defenseless among us.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.